All right, well, this morning we're going to continue talking about John chapter 10. Jesus is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We talked about last week what this means, this image used throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testament, that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. You know, in the Bible, it often says there's a phrase that recurs in the Bible, like sheep without a shepherd. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, do you think this is talking about a good situation or a bad situation when it says like sheep without a shepherd? Is it a good or bad?
Bad.
Yeah. That was a bad joke. But like sheep without a shepherd means literally you're dead meat. It's just a matter of time before you become somebody's lunch. And we talk about the fact that the image of us as sheep, that God compares us to sheep, it means that we're defenseless. We don't have fangs, we don't have claws, talons, we don't have wings. We can't fly away, we can't fight back. We're defenseless against the evil of this world, against the devil, the wolf. Our only hope, our only defense is our shepherd. We need a shepherd, and that's God. We talked about John chapter 10. And so this morning, I'd like to study with you John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So in this passage this morning where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? Now notice, Jesus doesn't just say, I am the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. Why does he qualify it saying he's a good shepherd? Well, you see, throughout the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 23, Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophets often had words from the Lord denouncing, rebuking the shepherds of Israel. In the Old Testament, any leader, you see, the nation of Israel was God's flock. And so anyone who led the nation of Israel was a shepherd. A prophet, a priest, a king, they are compared to shepherds in the Old Testament. And often, the prophets rebuked them. The Lord rebuked them because they exploited the sheep. They neglected the sheep. They used the people for their own personal gain. Does that sound familiar? Some things never change. And so Jesus, in contrast, says, I'm the good shepherd. You've had a lot of bad shepherds before me, but I am the good shepherd. So the question is, well, Jesus, why are you a good shepherd? What makes you different than all the other shepherds, all the other leaders that we've had? And Jesus says what? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, you know what makes me different? You know why I'm the good shepherd? Because I'm willing to die for you. Here he's speaking obviously of his death on the cross. And it's interesting in this passage because Jesus says not once, not twice, but four times Jesus says, I lay down my life. I die for you. In verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 17, because I lay down my life. In verse 18, I lay it down. Four times Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. Why? Because I lay down my life. You know, those of us who've been in church for a while, we've heard this a lot. Jesus died for us. And sometimes our eyes gloss over. It goes in one ear and out the other. But never lose that simplicity. The simple fact, Jesus died for you and for me. He was willing to pay the ultimate price. And you know what? That alone makes Jesus unique. Did Moses die for you? Did Muhammad die for you? Did Buddha die for you? Charles Darwin, Sigmund Freud, no one died for you. There's only one man, only one person who actually died for you, who loved you enough to give his life, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, yesterday we had a family day. Usually on Saturdays we try and make a family day. And right now we have a membership, an annual membership to Thanksgiving Point. Don't know if you've ever been to Thanksgiving Point. Anyone been there? Okay, a few people. Beautiful place. And yesterday we went to, for the first time we went to the Ashton Gardens. And you guys ever seen the Ashton Gardens? Okay, a few people, well, not that many. Beautiful. It reminded us of some of the gardens of Europe. And we saw something under construction. It's almost completed, almost open. It's called The Life of Jesus Garden, The Life of Christ Garden Tour, I think it's called. Life of Christ Garden Tour. And we could see the statues. You know, we can't walk in, you can't walk in yet, but we could see the statues, 15 different points of Jesus' life, and they're these magnificent statues from 15 different points of Jesus' life, things that he did, that he healed the sick or he raised the dead. And it's beautiful, it's magnificent. I can't wait to go back and look at these statues up close, except for one of them. But there's one thing, there's one part of Jesus' life that you can't find in the Garden of Life tour. There's one part of Jesus' life that's not there. It's when he was on the cross. When he died on the cross, you will not find a statue of Jesus there. And you know what? That's really sad. Because you know what the most important part of Jesus' life is? Yeah, it's great that he healed people. It's great that he raised the dead. It's great that the blind could see. But what was the single most important thing that Jesus did? He died. He says, I'm the good shepherd because I laid down my life. He died in your place. A crossless Christianity is a worthless Christianity. Amen? A crossless Christianity is an empty Christianity. I don't want to have anything to do with a crossless Christianity because the cross, that's the place where Jesus took my sin. That's the place where Jesus saved me on the cross. Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for you and me. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. Now in verses 12 and 13, Jesus, he compares himself with a hired hand. A hired hand. What is a hired hand? Well, it's simple, right? Shepherds, just like any other industry, just like any other business, they need help. And so if you've got a large flock, you're going to hire, they hired people to help them with the work of taking care of the flock. A hired hand is not the shepherd. They don't own the sheep, but they're hired on by the shepherd to help him with all the work of taking care of the flock. So Jesus contrasts himself with the hired hand. And we know that in chapter 10, Jesus is talking about thieves and robbers. Jesus is talking about strangers. Jesus is talking here about hired hands. And in context, he's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel, who were the shepherds. They were the leaders, and yet they were corrupt. They were not leading the people correctly. And Jesus contrasts himself with the hired hand. He says in verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees, verse 13, because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. You know, it's interesting as I thought about this passage, I realized everything about the hired hand is the opposite of what Jesus does. Look with me. The first thing that Jesus says about the hired hand is, he is not a shepherd. And what did Jesus say about himself? I am the good shepherd. The second thing about the hired hand is, he says, the hired hand does not own the sheep. In the Bible, Acts 20, says that Jesus purchased us with his own blood. On the cross, Jesus bought us. By his blood, by his life, he redeemed us from the curse of sin. The third thing about the hireling in verse 12 is he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. So the hired hand, when danger comes, when the wolf comes, the hired hand leaves. What does Jesus say? As our good shepherd, Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age. The fourth thing that it says about the hired hand is that the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. The hired hand leaves the sheep, and so when the wolf comes, he snatches the sheep, and as you can imagine, as the wolf begins to prey, all the sheep run in every direction. They're all scattered. What does Jesus do in contrast? Instead of running away when the wolf came, Jesus was snatched, allowed himself to be snatched by the wolf. On the cross, it says Jesus, who did not have sin, no sin, Jesus became sin. It says on the cross, Jesus became a curse for us. He, the blessed Son of God, became a curse. He took our curse upon himself on the cross. Jesus allowed Satan to snatch himself on the cross instead of us. So that what? That he might gather us. It says in the Bible that all we, like sheep, had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. We were scattered. And Jesus' mission is to seek and to save the lost, to gather the lost back to the sheepfold of God, to save you and I. And the last thing it says about the hired hand is, he cares nothing for the sheep. He cares nothing for the sheep. Does Jesus care about us? Yes. In contrast to the hired hand, Jesus gave his life for us. You know, it says in the Bible that for a good man, someone might die. But Jesus demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were like sheep. We had turned our back from God. We had run away from God. Jesus did not die for us because we're so good, because he saw some value in us, merit that would merit him giving his life for us. No, in contrast, we had turned our backs on him. We had run away from God. We were enemies with God. And in that state, Jesus gave his life for us. That's how much he cares about us. And so my first question for you this morning is, are you following the Good Shepherd? Are you following the Good Shepherd, or are you following hired hands? Now, the interesting thing about a hired hand, when does a sheep realize that the person they're following is a hired hand? You know, when everything's going well, the shepherd and the hireling are the same, right? There's no difference. But when does a sheep realize, uh-oh, this is a hireling? It's only when the wolf comes and the shepherd flees. They realize, oh, this is not a shepherd. He can't protect me from the wolf. There's a lot of hired hands in our society. There's a lot of hired hands in our world today, is there not? You know, you can just drive down 9th East. You can see crystals and transcendental meditation and New Age and various churches. They look like shepherds. They make promises that they're going to guide us, that they're going to protect us, that they're going to help us through life. But what happens? When life is good, yeah, it works. But when the wolf comes, when the difficulties come, these things are empty. They will not help us. Even secular humanism. We live in a culture, in a society that's trying to turn us all into secular humanists. There's a lot of people that put a lot of faith in their therapists and their psychiatrists and their psychologists. I'm not saying all of that is bad. But my father himself experienced his teenage years were ruined by the fact that his mother treated psychiatrists as gods. Whatever he said, that's what she did. And it ruined my dad's life when he was a teenager. God saved him and transformed his life. But you see, these were not shepherds. They were hired hands. For a while they helped, but then when it got really tough, they deserted him. The wolf came. Are you following Jesus, the good shepherd, or are you following a hired hand? Anyone else and everyone else is a hired hand. Amen? When the going gets rough, They cannot deliver you. They cannot help you. Only Jesus is your good shepherd. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will protect you from the wolf. Let's move on to verse 14. Verse 14 and 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus, in verse 14, he repeats, he says once again, I am the good shepherd. Just like he said in verse 11. But instead of saying, I lay down my life for the sheep, this time he says something different. Why is Jesus the good shepherd? Well, in verse 11, he's a good shepherd because he lays down his life for us. But look with verse 14. Why is Jesus a good shepherd? He says, I know my own, and my own know me. Why is Jesus a good shepherd? Because he knows us. He says, I know my own. You see, Jesus created you. Jesus knows you better than anybody else. He knows you better than your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. Jesus knows you. That's why he's a good shepherd. And Jesus says that my own know me. Obviously, Jesus is speaking here of relationship. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Now look at verse 15. This is amazing. Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Wow. Did you catch that? Jesus compares his relationship with us to his relationship with God the Father. In other words, Jesus wants to have the same kind of relationship with you that he has with God the Father. Is that not amazing? Now, we believe in the Trinity. God is one. One being, three persons, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. So how well does Jesus know his Father? They're one. Complete, utter, perfect unity and fellowship. That's the relationship that Jesus has with his Father. And Jesus says, I want to have, just as I know the Father knows me, so I want to know you and you to know me. See, Jesus is a good shepherd because he wants to have a relationship with you. You know, this last week in the men's Bible study, we were talking about this, the fact that Christianity is unique among all the religions of the world. I don't know of any other religion that stresses a relationship with God as the key to life. You know that's the center, the key of Christianity, right? Our relationship with God. That Jesus is in me, I in you, and you in me, and through that relationship with Jesus in us, we have power. We live. We have power over sin. We have life abundant. There's no other religion that talks about this. You know, Judaism, yes, they know who God is, but it's all about traditions, keeping the traditions, right? Keeping the law. Muslims, you cannot have a personal relationship with Allah. Allah is too powerful. You cannot know him. He doesn't even want a relationship with you. Buddhists, I mean, there is no God, and you can't have a relationship with Buddha. He's dead. What other religion? Christianity, Jesus is the only one who says, I want to know you. I want you to know me. It's all about a relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about regulations and rules that you have to keep. It's about a relationship. And through this relationship, we receive power to live as God wants us to. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Do you know Jesus? Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 is great. Who's Jesus talking about in verse 16? Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Who's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about us. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Now, what is this fold? This fold is the nation of Israel, the Jews. Jesus says, I have other sheep. Not just Jews, not just Jewish Christians who would follow after me. Jesus didn't just come for the nation of Israel, but we know the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus' heart is not just for the lost sheep of Israel, not just for Jews, but for the lost sheep of all nations. I have other sheep also who are not of this fold. Jesus' great commission is go and proclaim the gospel to all nations. Jesus is speaking about you and me here. He says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so here, Jesus is talking about salvation. Salvation doesn't begin with my work or your work. It begins with the work of God. God draws us. He brings us to himself. And what characterizes you? What characterizes me as Jesus' sheep? We listen to his voice. Have you heard Jesus' call? He says, come. I want to be your shepherd. I want you to follow after me. Have you heard Jesus' voice calling you to follow him? Have you responded? Have you come to be his sheep? And Jesus speaks here and says there will be one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. This is awesome. What is Jesus talking about here? Well, who is the one shepherd? We know that, right? The one shepherd is Jesus. So what's the one flock? It's the church. Jesus is speaking here of the church. The church with a capital C, the universal church, the global church of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, he doesn't say the flocks, he says the one flock. Why? Because we have one shepherd. We have one shepherd, so we are one flock. Speaking of the global church of Jesus Christ. I love that. Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, there's the Jewish flock, and then there's the Gentile flock. You know, he doesn't say, well, there's the white flock, there's the black flock, there's the Latino flock, you know, there's the Asian flock. He says, one flock. We're all one in Christ. Why? Because we have one shepherd, so we're one flock. You know, last week I talked about the Resonate Conference. It's a National Christian Missionary Alliance Conference. I was in Colorado Springs, and there was a couple hundred people there. And you know what I love about Alliance gatherings? One thing that is so refreshing, whenever I go to a conference or a gathering where of a Christian Missionary Alliance Christians, it's very international. If you put that photo up, I showed the photo last week. We have it? Oop. There we go. Thank you. Now you can see there's not all white people, right? Got white, we got Latino, we got black, we got a lot of Asians. It's global. It's international. It's multi-ethnic. And that's what I love about Alliance gatherings. When you get together, you realize we're one flock, one shepherd, all nations, but one flock in Christ Jesus. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. 17 and 18. Jesus says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So in these verses, Jesus says, once again, I lay down my life. But he says something else. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. There he's referring to his resurrection. Jesus not only died, but he rose from the dead. Do you realize how unique Jesus is? There's no one like him in all the universe. First of all, he's the only one who died for you. If that was the only thing he did, that would be amazing. But not only is Jesus the only one who died, he's the only one who rose again. There's no one else in human history that rose from the dead. And the resurrection is a historical fact. I don't have time to go into it today, but you can research it. It's a historical fact. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no one like Jesus in all of history. Not only did he die for us, but he rose again from the dead. Buddha never rose from the dead. Muhammad, Moses, nobody has risen from the dead except Jesus Christ. That's what makes him our good shepherd. And it says in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. You know, sometimes we think of Jesus as this weak little man who was killed, right? And Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. You know, there were many times throughout the Gospels that the multitudes, the crowd, they turned on Jesus and they wanted to kill him. Remember in Luke chapter 4, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum, and they don't like what he's saying. So they take him out and stone him. How's that for a first sermon? I'm glad you guys didn't do that with me. But you can go. I've been to the hill in Nazareth. You can go to the hill today where they took Jesus, and they wanted to throw him off this hill. They wanted to kill him. And what does it say? I love it. In the Gospels it says, and Jesus passed through their midst. And he passed through their midst. As if it's some easy thing. How can you pass through the midst of an angry mob bent on killing you? You can't, unless you're the Son of God. You see, Jesus said, nope, it's not my time yet. Nope, not yet time. But when it was time, Jesus told Pilate, hey, if I wanted, I could call down legions of angels right now to come and save me. You see, that makes Jesus' death all the more special. Every single minute of his sufferings, when he was being whipped, when he was on trial, condemned, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, every single minute was a voluntary choice of Jesus. At any time, he could have said, no, I'm done, I'm out. But out of love for you and me, he wasn't killed. He laid down his life. It was a voluntary sacrifice out of love for you and me. And like I said, no one else in history has done this. And as if this was not enough, Jesus says, not only do I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it up again. Wow. Jesus is the only man in history, the only person who has authority to take up his life again. Moses didn't rise from the dead. He does not have that power to rise again. Buddha does not have that power. Muhammad, Joseph Smith, no one has the authority to rise again from the dead. And so the question is, who can give us eternal life? Jesus says, because I live, you live also. Many promise you eternal life, but Jesus is the only one who can give it to you because he's the only one who's experienced it, the only one who rose from the dead. It says Jesus is the first fruits. He's the only one who has the power to give you everlasting life because he's the only one who rose from the dead. And so this morning, we're reminded of our good, good shepherd. Jesus is the only good shepherd, amen? Because he's the only one who died for you. No one else died for you. Because he's the only one who promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Everything in this world, everything else is just a hired hand. When your life is good, it will help. But when the wolf comes, the hired hand will flee you. Jesus is your good shepherd. He stays by you through thick and thin. Jesus is a good shepherd because he alone knows you. As your creator, it's a fact. He knows you better than anyone else, even better than your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad. He knows you. And Jesus is the only one who wants to have a relationship with you, a personal, intimate relationship with you. The other religious leaders, you know, Muhammad and Buddha, they can pass on teachings to you, but they cannot help you because they're dead. They can't help you. Jesus alone is the one who's alive, who wants to be in you. And not only does he give you teachings, but he is the power. He gives you the power to live accordingly. Jesus is the only one that can make you part of a global flock. You know, Christianity is the most universal, the most global religion on earth. Did you know that? No other religion is as global, is as universal as Christianity. If you make Jesus your shepherd, if you become his sheep, you can be part of something bigger than yourself, something greater than your own life, part of one global flock. And finally, perhaps most importantly, Jesus alone rose from the dead. Therefore, Jesus alone has the power to give you life, to rise again. Jesus alone can give you everlasting life because he's the only one who's risen from the dead. And so this morning, in closing, my question is Jesus your shepherd? Are you a sheep without a shepherd? If you're a sheep without a shepherd, it's only a matter of time before you become someone's lunch. Are you following somebody or something else besides Jesus, the philosophies of this world, spiritualities, fake spiritualities, false religions, false churches? It may be good right now, but when the wolf comes, when the going gets tough, you realize it's a hired hand. It's not going to help you. Jesus alone is a good shepherd who will never leave you, never forsake you. He will be there for you. And when you die, he will give you everlasting life. Is Jesus your shepherd? Don't follow hired hands. Follow Christ alone. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you because you alone are our good shepherd. Everything else in this world is a hired hand. It may give us hope or help us for a while, but when the going gets rough, gets tough, when the wolf comes, Lord, you alone are the one who does not leave us or forsake us. You alone are our good shepherd. You alone gave your life. You laid down your life. You died for us. You alone, Lord, you alone rose again. No one else has risen again from the dead. You alone, Lord, can give us eternal life. Lord, you are the only one who wants to live in us, who wants to have a relationship with us and give us the power, not only to teach us the truth, but to give us the power to live it. So, Lord, I'm asking if there's anyone here who does not follow you and you alone as their shepherd. This day, make a change. Decide to stop following the hired hands. Follow Jesus, the good shepherd. He alone can save you and give you eternal life. He alone will never leave you or forsake you. And for those of us who are following after you, Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that may be dabbling in various spiritualities or philosophies, playing around with those different things. Lord, I pray that you would bring them back as a lost sheep, bring them back into the fold, that they would follow you and you alone, and not turn, not go astray, but follow after you and you alone. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our good shepherd, a good, good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.